Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ooredoo Group First Quarter 2020 Financial Results Investor Call. I now hand over to Andreas Goldau from Ooredoo Group. Sir, please go ahead.
Salam alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mahaban bikum fi hadhihi mukalama. Ramadan Kareem, hello and welcome to Ooredoo's Financial Results Call. My name is Andreas Goldau from the Investor Relations team. This call is slightly different from our usual format. Usually we would be in the Ooredoo Tower in our office, but on this occasion we have the speakers dialing in from various locations across the Doha. Of course, we have RJ, our group CFO, and we have Andrew Qualset, our chief commercial officer, and Sarah Al-Sayed from the investor relations team. But we also have a new speaker joining us this time, Sheikh Mohammed bin Abdullah Al-Thani, who has recently been appointed as Deputy CEO of the Ooredoo Group, and he is also the acting CEO of Ooredoo Qatar since last month. Let me introduce the new speaker. Sheikh Mohammed actually joined Ooredoo Qatar in 2009 in the finance department. His international career started when he joined the board of Ooredoo Kuwait in 2011, and in 2014, he actually became the CEO of Ooredoo Kuwait. He spent the last 6 years in Kuwait in charge of the operations there. Sheikh Mohammed is also the chairman of the board of Ooredoo Algeria, and he is back in Qatar since last month. So what a time for his first investor call. Sheikh Mohammed will start with a brief overview on the current pandemic situation and the impact that it has on Ooredoo's business. Then he will provide a brief summary of the Q1 results, and as always, RJ Bakri, our group CFO, will provide more details on the financial numbers. And in the end, we will allow ample time for your questions. The presentation is available on our website at ooredoo.com and also on the webcast. Please do note the usual disclaimer on slide number 2. And to begin, I then hand over to Sheikh Mohammed.
Hi, everyone. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ramadan Kareem to everyone. It's my pleasure speaking to you all. And Ramadan Kareem to you and your families. And I hope that you and your families are well and healthy during this difficult time. As you all know that COVID-19 impact has been globally, and it has been touching all business and across all sectors. And we know that we are in a sector that's a little bit resilient and maybe in a less impacted compared to other sectors. We here as Ooredoo Group and Ooredoo Management, we are very cautious, and we are putting our employees and customers as priority, and we make sure that they are being health, their health and safety as a priority for us. Also, we make sure that we, as Ooredoo, make sure that we are providing a better quality of connectivity and for uninterrupted services and businesses. And that's what we do across all our operation and OPCO. So today, I speak on behalf of the entire management in a group and OPCO, and we are providing that services despite the impact of this pandemic across all our main 10 countries. We know that COVID-19 has impacted globally and disrupted most of the business. And as I said earlier, we are the least impacted, and alhamdulillah, thanks to God, that we are quite resilient into this COVID-19. We know there have been some plus and minus impact. I'm going to go through just high level things that I can highlight to you, and then I'll just give a debrief of our high level quarter one results, and then will be followed by a detailed presentation by the team members here. So basically, we have been noticing that the aviation and the travel has been impacted heavily, and that really affecting our roaming revenue, and although that roaming revenue is not that big percentage of our total revenue. We know that across all operation, big number of our shops are closed. However, that means our digital journey has been accelerated, and we see that how this are being changing the behavior of customers and the mentality. And that also goes with our vision as a digital provider. Also, we have been cautious also on the supply chain and the production, and thank God that we are in a good relationship and good shape with our suppliers and vendors. There are some positive also stuff that we can share today is, as I said at the beginning of my call, that our business or our sector is less impacted because now that we know that every business and corporate and consumer individuals, parents, kids are being home, and the usage of telecom services and products are heavily dependent. And we see that from, the data growth massively in our network and also how things are evolving dramatically on the corporate side. We know that from consumer side, kids and parents are using streaming videos and games, and also from corporate side, we see that what we have done across all operation education and also business to stay connected and without uninterrupted or with the quality or good quality of services. And we know that in the schools that has been education from distance, and also as we have been as a business communicating with each other through video conferencing, and that really resulted in a big jump in the telecom services. We know that also from corporate side that reinforced for the corporate decision makers and business people that how they are really changing their mentality, how they are accelerating and looking into their entire infrastructure and how they are accelerating their move into ICT solutions and data centers and how they can be resilient as well and adapting to this exceptional situation today. And that also goes with our entire vision, how we can be a digital provider and growing into 5G acceleration, digital and IoT applications and ICT businesses. So this is a difficult time. We know that it has really impacted the entire globe. We know that how this is really affecting the entire consumer and business behavior and people, decision makers. And we here in Ooredoo, we are making sure that we are taking cautious and any steps that can put us in a good situation to minimize the effect or the impact of this. However, we are not losing a bigger picture and long-term strategy that we are aspiring for, being, continuing in our investment and maintaining our position across all our 10 markets. Today, we have seen there has been a great or exponential traffic growth in our network, and we are in a good position today how we are controlling that, and we are adding more capacity and to be resilient into this hugely demand on our network. I would love just to give maybe some high level on our Q1 results. Our Q1 results seemed very positive, healthy, and we have growing our top line by 1% compared to last year, supported by growth in Indonesia, Tunis. Our EBITDA is declining or marginally below last year because of challenging and market like Algeria, Qatar, and Kuwait, and COVID-19 impact as well. Our net profit is down by 8% compared to last year, however, offset by some favorable gain in forex exchange. Thanks God, our financial position and balance sheet quite healthy. We have a good position of liquidity position. We have a good position on liquidity, and that give us a more comfort how we can embrace and continue and striving for our mid-long-term strategy of maintaining our position and continue investment into our network and core business to provide a good and high quality of services for our stakeholders and customers. That's from my side. I would hand over to the team members now for further details. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sheikh Mohammed, for your insights. I will now get into the details of the financial results. We can move to slide number 9. As already mentioned, the growth in revenue was driven by good performance of some of our opcos. I'd like to highlight Indonesia and Tunisia, where the revenue grew 7% and 16% respectively, driven by Indosat's refreshed strategy and the implementation of Redu Tunisia's value creation plans. Growth in data consumption in Myanmar also contributed to revenue growth during the period. Challenging market conditions, certain one-off cost provisions, including for COVID-19, impacted in many of our territories, led to a 5% decline in EBITDA year-on-year to 3 billion riyals. We are optimizing costs to mitigate the impact of this decline and to manage the impact that weakening economies and changing consumer habits will have on our bottom line. Let's move to the next slide, slide 10. Group net profit declined by 8% to 387 million riyals in quarter 1 2020 compared to the same period last year due to the reduction in EBITDA and COVID-19 provisions. Pre-foreign exchange, net profit benefited last year from spectrum refarming benefits in one company, and in this quarter it was negatively impacted by one of provisions for COVID-19 and also restructuring costs in Indosat. So the one-off costs in Indosat happened in quarter one. The benefit of that will come in coming quarters. Economic weakness as a result of COVID-19 lockdowns is likely to have an impact on the economies where we operate, and correspondingly will also have an impact on the performance of the operations. Having said that, we as an industry are better placed than other industries because of the increased demand for our products. Moving to the next slide, capital expenditure and free cash flow. You'll see that CapEx for the period was 811 million riyals, a decline compared to last year. However, this is in line with our insourcing strategy designed to optimize CapEx by taking advantage of group economies of scale and also partly related to timing of completion of certain projects. CapEx was mainly used for network upgrades and deployments. During the quarter, we upgraded our 4G network in Myanmar to the most advanced level in the country. And in our home market in Qatar, we took another step towards nationwide 5G coverage by deploying spectrum sharing sites, which enabled the running of 4G and 5G traffic simultaneously on the same frequency. Our liquidity is good, and free cash flow increased 10% during the first quarter compared to same period last year to 1.5 billion due to lower capex during the period. Moving on to the next slide, total customers. Our customer base increased by 6% in Q1 2020 compared to the same period last year to 118 million customers, driven by strong growth in Myanmar, Indonesia, and Iraq. Moving on to the next slide, net profit. We continue to maintain a healthy and well-balanced net debt rather than net profit. Net debt decreased by 10% to 25 billion as we maintain our course of deleveraging. Our net debt to EBITDA ratio is at 1.8 times, which is well within our long-term guidance of between 1.5 and 2.5. and well below our bank covenants of 4.5 times. Group debt remains mainly at the corporate level, like previous quarters, largely in Qatar, followed by Indonesia, and then a smaller percentage allocated to the other opcos. As a reminder, debt in the opco level is kept primarily in local currency. Let's move to slide 14. Revenue was at the upper end of the guidance we'd given, whereas EBITDA came in below the outlook we gave. However, we recognize that as COVID-19 lockdowns continue and resulting impact that will have on the global economy, the performance of our business may deviate from our guidance in the following quarters. At this stage, there is a lack of clear visibility and clear data to accurately project the impact of this, and therefore we will update the guidance after Q2 when we will have a better visibility on the evolution of the situation. Let's move to slide 16 for an operational review of our opcos, starting with Qatar, our home market. Qatar continues to be our highest revenue generator. EBITDA margins, which were at a healthy 55% during the quarter, came slightly lower compared to last year from the reduced revenue from prepaid services. However, sequentially, impact from lower B2B project revenue was offset by lower costs, resulting in EBITDA margin improvement. We continue to make progress towards nationwide 5G coverage, as I said earlier, by deploying spectrum sharing sites, which enable us to run both 4G and 5G traffic simultaneously on the same frequency. Now we have more than 100,000 customers signed up for our new Shahri 5G and Qatarna 5G plans, while our content and entertainment services saw good growth with Ooredoo TV customers. We maintain our number one position in the country, and our network continues to be ranked among the fastest globally. During the quarter, we have launched several initiatives to support communities and businesses during this difficult time, including doubling data allowances and providing higher speeds. Moving on to the next slide, Indonesia. Indosat Ooredoo delivered robust growth powered by the implementation of its 3-year strategy to create a more agile business with a sharper focus on its customers. Revenue for the quarter grew 8% year-on-year in local currency, mainly driven by higher ARPUs due to a significant increase in data traffic. Indosat Ooredoo maintained strict cost discipline, which contributed to EBITDA growth of 9% for the first quarter of 2020 compared to the same period last year, and a corresponding increase in the EBITDA margin to 42% for the period, up from 41% in Q1 2019. Sequentially, the revenue was lower due to certain lower B2B project revenues in Q4, resulting in lower EBITDA. However, EBITDA margin improved sequentially as a result of cost optimizations, despite a one-off cost related to organization restructuring. Those of you who have attended their call yesterday would have heard more details about that. Indosat Ooredoo's customer base grew by 5% to 56 million as we maintained our focus on developing a more loyal base with lower levels of churn. Moving on to slide 18, Iraq. Asiacell reported revenue growth of 1% to 1.1 billion riyals in quarter 1 2020, while EBITDA increased marginally to 473 million Qatari riyals, a healthy EBITDA margin of 44%. Our customer base was up 5% as customers were able to avail of Asiacell's services from the safety of their homes with the help of mobile buses, which delivered SIMs and scratch cards directly to people's homes. Sequentially, revenue declined due to seasonality. Quarter 4 has a positive impact because of the Albania festival in Iraq, and also March was impacted by COVID-19 shutdown. EBITDA margins improved compared to quarter 4. Stable performance is the result of a good start to the quarter, offset by challenges driven by the continuation of the 2019 demonstrations, COVID-19 outbreak, and drop in oil prices. Moving to Oman, slide 19. Oman reported revenue of $638 million, down 2% compared to the same period last year, primarily due to pre-booked mobile segment, which was offset by growth in the postpaid side, as well as growth in the fixed-line business. EBITDA declined by 3%. However, effective cost management initiatives across the business enabled us to sustain a very healthy EBITDA margin of 56%. Ooredoo Oman's license was renewed for another 15 years period in February. The renewal fees of 75 million Oman Riyal will be paid in two installments, one each in 2020 and 21. Sequentially, revenue declined due to lower device sales and prepaid revenue. This was partially offset by cost efficiencies, resulting in decrease in EBITDA but improvement in EBITDA margin. Let's move to slide 20, Kuwait. Revenues for the first quarter of 2020 were 656 million riyals compared to 673 million riyals in 2019. Kuwait's overall performance was impacted by the COVID-19 lockdown, adding pressure to an already competitive environment. Sequentially, revenues declined 11%, including a large impact of lower handset sales as well, which is a low-margin business. The CMA in Kuwait has requested companies not to publish financial accounts until July 2020, and therefore, the numbers we are disclosing today are a bit limited compared to our usual disclosures, focusing more on the revenue details. Ooredoo Kuwait offered all workers in the ministry and the governmental organization 5GB of free data a day and unlimited local calls in support of their efforts to contain the spread of COVID-19. Moving on to slide 21, Algeria. A generally challenging economic environment intensified by the measures taken to curtail the spread of COVID-19 weighed down on our performance in Algeria. However, I would like to highlight that our performance in terms of EBITDA stabilized over the last few quarters with some improvement in EBITDA margin sequentially. Ooredoo Algeria reported 594 million riyals in revenues in quarter one 2020, down 8% compared to the same period last year, but a more moderate 3% decline compared to quarter four 2019. Consequently, EBITDA for the period declined to 200 million compared to 261 million last year. Sequentially, EBITDA decline was only 2%. Ooredoo Algeria launched a comprehensive program to support the community during this period, which included the use of Ooredoo's digital platforms to raise awareness on COVID-19 prevention, in addition to deployment of its e-learning platforms to support the ongoing education of students during the crisis. Ooredoo Algeria also teamed up with the Red Crescent to distribute hygiene kits and help sanitize public spaces. Moving on to the next slide, Tunisia. Tunisia delivered another robust set of results despite challenging market conditions. Revenues grew 16% to 382 million riyals in quarter one. In local currency, the growth was 8%, so a good recovery in the currency there. It was driven by good performance in B2B, fixed wireless, and data segments. Consequently, EBITDA increased by 18%, 10% in local currency, again benefiting from the currency improvement, supporting EBITDA margin improvement to 44%. Ooredoo Tunisia's customer base was unchanged at about 9 million, maintaining its position as the number one telecom player by customer market share. To support its customer during these challenging times, Ooredoo Tunisia launched new nightly data bundles and free MobiCash cards. Moving on to slide 23, Myanmar. Myanmar is seeing an evolution of the telecoms market towards 4G. As a result, data usage continues to drive revenue growth in the market. Ooredoo Myanmar reported revenue of 284 million riyals for the first quarter of 2020, up 9% compared to the same period last year. However, increased customer acquisition costs contributed to margins compression and a decline in EBITDA to 50 million in Q1 20 compared to 2019. Sequentially, the quarterly performance also showed similar trends of revenue growth and pressure on EBITDA. An operational highlight for Ooredoo Myanmar is the upgrade of the country's most advanced 4G network, which used the 900 megahertz band and reached the vast majority of Myanmar's population, contributing to a 43% increase in a customer base to 15.6 million at the end of the quarter. The country's 3G and 4G networks continue to rank number one for speed in the country. This concludes the presentation. I will now hand you back to the IR team.
I think I'm back now. So questions can be asked on the webcast or via the phone. If the operator could just explain how to ask them once more. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. We will now start our question and answer session. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 0 and 1 on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, to participate in our written Q&A, just type your question into the Ask Question text area. Then click the submit button. So we have by phone a first question from Chit Mitchit from Locadia Sico. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good afternoon. Thank you for the call. I have a couple of questions on the results. First, on the Qatar operations, I've seen it was weak. It looks like a bit weak operation if I look at in terms of performance year on year. And if I compare it with your competitor, it seems that the competitor has gained market share in the first quarter. So I wanted to get an idea on what's how is this competition environment right now within Qatar, and also in terms of your voice revenues, are you seeing any material impact from more usage of, say, OTT apps, and also on your mobile broadband, how is the impact from people working from home and using fixed broadband more? That's my question on the Qatar operations. Second, on the Kuwait, I know you're not sharing more details in terms of the performance below revenue. But if I look at the other component in your segment reporting, where you've clubbed Kuwait, Tunisia, Maldives, and Palestinian operations primarily, I see the profit before tax as a loss, as a group bucket. So wanted to get a better understanding as to what is happening in this segment at a high level. If you can share something on that, it will be helpful. And third, on the Algerian operations, it seems there was an issue with some cost retrenchment of certain people in Algeria, and which led to some management changes there. So is there any issues in going forward as in terms of any cost-cutting measure that you can take from that angle in Algeria? Any update on that? Thank you.
Thank you for your questions. As far as Qatar is concerned, I think Qatar, of course, the competition has been intense in Qatar for a long time. And some quarters, we gain market share, some quarters, Vodafone does. So I think the movement is not material. There are some changes, but nothing material, we would say. We maintain our strong position in terms of network, in terms of mobile and fixed dominance as well. On the OTT side, the impact is not material, as you are aware that OTT was not allowed in Qatar. Both Vodafone and us had implemented that. So, and it was allowed earlier, much earlier, if you remember, more than a couple of years back. So even when that change happened, the impact was not material. So there any change of behavior like that is not expected to have a material impact. A lot of customers are on bundles, which includes data and minutes bundled together. As far as the behavior of customers is concerned, you are right that a lot of customers are not moving around much. And if someone is at home, then the default usage could flip back to the fixed line. That fixed line on most of the houses does belong to us. The benefit we've seen that, as you pointed out, was increase in some revenues on the Ooredoo TV side. But that is offset by decrease in mobile broadband usage. There too, customers who are on bundles, the impact would not be that material. People who are on pay-as-you-go, that's where the impact would be more. So it's a mixed bag, some positive, some negative, which comes out of that. On the Kuwait side, unfortunately, I can't give you more details, but you do see a revenue trend over there. And you know the lockdown in Kuwait has been there for some time now. So that obviously has had an impact in the revenues. And I think you can probably expect that to impact the overall business as well, including, you know, when you talk about COVID impact, we're talking about, I mentioned about provisions for COVID that are primarily done in markets where we have postpaid customers, receivables, and the expected credit loss is reassessed because of this. And those are spread across all the opcos, yeah, including Kuwait, as you would imagine. As far as Algeria is concerned, yes, there was a change of management. And we have now Mr. Bassam, who has gone there as Deputy General Manager. No concerns about the changes there. All the other top management is there. Things are moving well since Bassam has gone there. So no specific concerns as far as that's concerned. And as far as any cost optimization initiatives are concerned, that's the process we follow in each OPCO. It is an overarching plan to look at all types of costs, and the implementation process in each OPCO is merited on the business requirements there.
Okay. Thank you so much, Ajay. It was very helpful.
So we have another question from Hervé Drouet from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you as well for the call. A few questions. First one is, have you seen any change in the dynamics in your operations since lockdown were in place and with the COVID-19 impact, especially on working capital, but also on bad debt? Do you see any delay in receivables coming from some corporate and especially SMEs. The second question is regarding CapEx. I mean, your Q1 CapEx looks relatively low, and you give some explanation for that. But comparing with your guidance for the full year, there is a very large gap. And you mentioned at the same time the disruption of the supply chain that may impact rollouts. And I was wondering as well if you believe, especially that the guidance you have given on CapEx might be maybe too high compared with the current situations, and if you think there is room for decrease there. And finally, back on Algeria, I was wondering, I mean, we have seen in previous quarter some kind of start of a stabilization, you know, on the financials, and this quarter that has shown a bit of renewed weakness. Do you think we have achieved a trough now in Algeria, and coming quarters we might see stabilization or now starting to potentially have a bit of upside there, or you still think it's too soon? Thank you.
Okay, let me take the first question, which is generically talking about COVID-19 impact. So as far as changes to prices are concerned, as each operation has actually supported the economies and the governments during this time by providing a lot of free data to customers as required very often by regulators. This is the time when I think the telecom industry and Ooredoo is standing with the economies and the countries to support whatever support's required to get the engine of the economy working. So initially, I think there has been a lot of free data given, free support given. I gave some examples in my presentation. Sheikh Mohammed also explained some of the examples of that. So yes, that is definitely there on a short-term basis, and that was required for a certain period of time by some regulators. But there's no sustained decrease in pricing. Most of these are promotional in nature. Working capital impact, I think it's a little early to talk about the impact of working capital right now. And in the 1 month of lockdown, mostly in March, there's no significant impact on receivables. Having said that, we all know that these lockdowns are continuing, and these will have an impact on the ability for a lot of customers, talk to SMEs, to pay on time. And that's why the proactive thing done as far as accounting is concerned, we've taken some provisions, not based just on what we saw in March, but also anticipating some deterioration in the credit quality going forward. But these are uncharted territories, as you all are aware. We all have to wait and see how this plays out in each market, and the dynamic might be different in each market. The good thing overall about our business is it's primarily a prepaid business for us in most of our operations. Some operations do have exposure to receivables, but not that large. And wherever we thought there was risk, we've proactively taken some provisions for that. Your next question was CapEx, and you're right, quarter one CapEx is low, and generally quarter one is low for us in all quarters of all the years. Last year it was a little higher because Indosat was on a CapEx rollout spree for their catch-up on a number of sites. So I think the comparison with Q1 of last year probably shows a big decline, but there is no disruption which is impacting materially our CapEx plans as we speak today. So most of the plans are working. However, again, difficult to project how this will impact our plans if there's a sustained lockdown in some of our markets. But right now, we don't see a material impact on the supply chain. Algeria performance, you're right. Year on year, you do see a decline. And like I said, that if you compare it more to last quarter, the decline is much less. And that's an indication of a little bit of stabilization of the performance of the company. So we see a lot of positive signs there. Unfortunately, with the COVID-19 impact in the country, and also to be cognizant of the fact that oil prices have gone down, that doesn't bode well for the economy there. But the company itself had a plan to turn around, has taken a lot of measures including focusing on customers, products, distribution, all aspects were considered. So we see a stabilization there for sure.
Right. Thank you.
Okay, so we have no further question by phone for the moment. Ah, sorry, we have another question by phone, if I may, from Ziad Itani from Outcome Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thank you for the presentation. Just a couple of questions. First of all, on the Iraqi market, can you please give us some details on what are the terms of the five-year license extension you got, and how much did this help in terms of lowering the amortization cost?
Sure. What has happened as of now is that the negotiations with the government have started now, and that's where the process sits right now. The government hasn't, there's no full visibility in terms of when the you know, the details will be received back from the government, but it's more in progress right now. So once we have details of that, we can probably share more information and details. But what has happened in the meantime, a positive impact which you might have seen in Zain's results for Q4 is that there is a right to request for the license extension for another 5 years. Since that process has started, in terms of IFRS, there's a possibility to write off your balance license cost over another 5 years' time. So the positive impact of that is built into below the EBITDA in quarter one itself.
Okay, so this is basically the main reason why we've seen roughly 100 million lower depreciation and amortization in Asia selling Q1?
Approximately. That's not exactly the number. The number is slightly smaller than that. But, the main reason for that the decrease comes from this lower amortization charge, and which, of course, will continue on every quarter basis.
Great. And also, what's happening in Iraq in terms of the 4G license? And as well, I mean, looking at Q1, we've seen quite a strong drop in revenues and EBITDA sequentially. Any specific reason for that as well?
See, what has happened in Iraq for 4G, there is no clarity yet on when the 4G license will be issued. Of course, there was an expectation earlier that it is very imminent, and all the operators were actively working on that. But what has happened is that with this COVID-19 situation, it's not clear now how imminent that is. So everyone's hoping it'll happen. There's readiness from operators on the 4G ready network deployment, but we'll have to wait and see how that plays out. As far as Q4 to Q1 is concerned, Q4, as you would recall, is always a good quarter because of the Arbainia festival in Iraq. And that's why you see a decline in revenue coming, primarily because of that. And also, partly because in March, a strict curfew was imposed in Iraq. Unlike some other places where the curfew was not as strict, in Iraq it was a very strict curfew in March. That impacted the performance in the month of March a little more than maybe other places.
Great, that's very clear. And one more question on Oman. Is there anything new with regards to a third player entering the market? And power sales, if possible.
Yeah, there's no new news as such. I think it still stays that the third player is entering the market. It just appears that there may be a delay of the launch of operations. There was a time when we were thinking it might happen sometime in the second half of this year. With this COVID-19, we believe it may be delayed into next year. But no specific news beyond what's in public domain today.
And on power sales?
I beg your pardon?
On tower sales, anything with that regard?
Tower sales. Tower sales, of course, we did the tower sales in Indonesia. We had done one batch, and as you're aware, we still have some more towers left in Indonesia. In the meantime, Axiata was in the market with their towers. So down the line, we may look at it again, but not immediately. But that's part of the overall strategy to invest in the core network. It's not something that's happening right now.
But nothing happening in Oman with that. Oman towers.
Sorry, my bad. I thought you're talking about tower sales generally. Oman, of course, they have an Oman tower company already established there, and they are the ones who are building all new towers now. So the new tower build is with the tower company, although in theory the operators also have a right to build, but it just makes sense not to duplicate infrastructure which doesn't need to be duplicated.
But what about selling the current towers that you own?
See, that in theory is always possible. Nothing much has happened on that as yet. If there's a possibility to monetize that asset, definitely something we will look at. But nothing happening actively on that side right now. Although it can happen, given that you have a tower company established there. It really depends how the appetite there is in terms of the right valuations and indeed the right pricing. But that is not very actively happening right now. And I think a lot of these things are a little slowed down because of the COVID situation. I think we'll have to wait a little bit before I think things like this will pick up.
Okay, thank you.
So we have no further questions. Moment by phone.
Okay, in this case, I think we can take some questions from the webcast. Sarah, do you want to read up the questions from Al-Rayyan and NBK? I think there are a couple pending.
A question from Arayan. Did the company provide discount on any packages? If yes, what is the financial impact of these and how long will it continue?
Yeah, I'll take that question. Across the all operations, and of course, we are working with our clients and customers, and we always make sure that we are in a constant communication to make sure that we have, a mutual benefit among, both parties. So we are looking into this as a partnership with our clients, and that's something we cannot quantify as of today financially.
Another question from NBK Capital. Are there still any discussions with regulator in Qatar to extend the license similar to what was extended to Vodafone?
Actually, always a discussion with the regulator there. Honestly, there is no such active concrete discussion on that aspect. However, with this unknown or uncertainty of COVID-19, there has been multiple discussion with the regulator, and we are looking into so many fees and licenses that we are having with the regulator, but there's no such active concrete discussion on that specific aspect or as of today because of the COVID-19 and things are happening dramatically for the last few weeks and months. But that's something we are discussing in general aspect of all fees and things that we are having with the regulator to look at and review our relationship with them and business.
No further questions. Thank you.
Great. Then we covered all the questions. I would like to thank everybody for...
I'm sorry. Sorry. This is the operator. We have another question by phone. Is it possible for you?
Sure.
Okay, so we have a question from Nanal Dervish from Arkham Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the call. I have just one last question, if I may. Regarding normalized EPS in Q1, so can you please share with us how much do you see it? Because there's like around $200 million in other income. So if you can tell us, please, what do you see as normalized EPS, and if you think the dividend policy that was just implemented can be revised?
Okay, so we don't disclose normalized EPS in our quarterly disclosures. Having said that, you can see the impact of FX part of the 203, right? And and also, if you look at the COVID itself, whether it is one-off, should be factored for normalized or not, something we haven't even given it a thought. So it will be something we will assess, I think, later in the year as things stabilize. The policy itself is like a guidance given by the board, how they intend to share the proceeds of profits between shareholders and reinvesting in the business. And, of course, there is no intention to change the policy. Right now it's too early. But if there's an unusual activity, which we believe COVID-19 is, it would definitely be factored into the analysis.
Okay, thank you.
Operator, so any other questions then?
So we have no further question for the moment by Bayfond.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Then before we close the call, I would just like to point out two events that are coming up, two conferences. Of course, we are not traveling at the moment, but fortunately, they are virtual conferences, and Ooredoo is planning on doing one-on-one meetings at the City Conference in London, although we're going to be in Doha, but it's going to take place on the 18th and 19th of May, and we're also going to be available virtually at the Bank of America Merrill Lynch Conference from the 2nd to the 4th of June. So if you are interested in participating, please talk to your broker, and we are happy to answer any questions. If you have any feedback on this call or any follow-up questions, feel free to reach out to the Investor Relations team. Otherwise, I would like to thank you for joining this call. I'd like to thank all the speakers, and we are looking forward to your future participation at our next update. First half results, including the updated guidance, is probably going to happen around the end of July. Thank you very much again for your continued interest in Ooredoo.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's results call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect your lines.